Hey, it's Ryan Tucker, and you're listening to the Unchangeable Truth Podcast. Today, you're listening to Pastor Stephen's sermon titled, They Wouldn't Bow, Bend, or Burn, coming out of Daniel chapter 3, verses 13 through 18.
So as you're being seated this morning, if you have a Bible, go ahead, open it up, and go to the book of Daniel. It's where we've been hanging out the last several weeks, and we're going to be here for a while. As we are studying a series through the book of Daniel entitled The Coming Kingdom of Christ. And last week we were at the first part of Daniel 3, and today we're going to pick up where we left off, and we're going to continue on till we cover all of Daniel chapter 3. I can remember several years ago, long before he knew who I was, listening to a series of sermons by Dr. Jerry Vines through Daniel chapter 3. And he had three sermons. The first one was, they would not bow. The second one was, they would not bend. And the third one was, they would not burn. And I thought, man, that's kind of catchy right there. And so I'm not going to preach his three sermons this morning, but I am going to borrow his sermon titles. And today, those are going to be our three main points. They wouldn't bow, they wouldn't bend, and they wouldn't burn. Now, I'm going to do something today that I have been putting off for quite some time. Yeah. I'm glad you're enjoying it. I kept getting bigger print Bibles, and I think I don't have the giant gargantuan print, but I've got the next. And so I've had these glasses for a little while now. I can read like this. I can read it. But boy, it sure is a lot easier like this. I haven't been wearing them because of pride. It's just quite frankly, pride, right? And so my wife said, oh, I think they look so good. It makes you look smarter. And I don't think she means that. I think she just wants me to wear the glasses. But anyway, so let's go back. Last week, the first 12 verses of Daniel chapter 3, the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar has built this 90-foot tall statue that the Septuagint says of himself. And so he places it out there in this big field outside of Babylon. It's the plain of Dura, and he sends notice. I want everybody to meet out in the field, all of the government authorities and officials, the who's who of Babylon. And then when they get out there, the king's press secretary says, hey, when the band starts playing, when the symphony starts playing, everybody's going to bow down and worship this big golden false idol. And so the band starts playing, and then sure enough, everybody hits the ground with the exception of our three young Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, most of you, if you've been a part of church, you've probably heard this story before. I was amazed at the number of folks last week because I'm so thankful that we're one of those churches that we get to see folks that have never stepped in church their entire lives come to know Jesus Christ, and they're a part of our church family. And so I had several last week that were like, that's a cool story, man. I've never heard that before. I've never read that before. Well, if you think last week was cool, this week is going to freeze you to death. So last week, we kind of looked at that first point. They wouldn't bow. They wouldn't bow. Verse 12, we read last week that as everybody is hitting the ground and they're bowing down, the music is playing, the king's secret service, they're kind of walking around, right? And they realize these three guys did not bow down. And so they go and they tell the king, you know those three Hebrew boys that you gave them jobs in the government? Well, they are not worshiping your gods or the gold image which you set up. And so we read that and we're like, man, they were devoted. They were devoted. And let me just stop and say this. Young people, I know you've just come back from camp And I know, man, we love getting you in a camp setting and taking everything away from you, right? And you're there, and my goodness, you've drawn close to the Lord, and God did some amazing things in your life. Can I just stop and say, even though you packed up on Friday and put your stuff on the bus to come back home, you don't have to leave what God did back at camp. God wants to use you to do something so great and extraordinary that we old people have to follow what you do. And so these are three young men. These are three teenage Hebrew boys. And they said, even though everybody else is doing it, we're not going to bow. They were devoted to the Lord. Oh, what God could do if more of us were devoted to him instead of the things of this world. So point number one, they wouldn't bow. Now, look there with me, Daniel 3. Let's keep reading. We'll pick up verse 18, okay? And you're like, boy, that first point was quick. Well, no, it took about 35 minutes, 40 minutes last week. We've already done it. Look at verse, well, let's pick up 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in a rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so they brought these three men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now, if you are ready at the time, you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, lyre, and psaltery in symphony with all kinds of music and fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this manner. And let me just stop right there. That is the kindest way to talk smack right there. We don't even have to answer you. But they do. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. They wouldn't bend. They were given a second chance. Hey, I don't know what happened the first time. I have to be careful because when I look up, it gets really, really, and I don't want to fall off the stage because it's so blurry when I look up. If I do fall off the stage, we'll just keep going. Don't stop. Nobody come up here to help me. I'll just jump up and keep preaching, okay? But here they are, and they were determined. We're not going to bow down to that false idol. They had a determination about them that a lot of times we don't equate with young people. But man, they sure did. Now, they had what I call genuine faith. See, there's a lot of different kinds of faith. It's not just enough for us to say that we have faith. The reality is that there's a lot of folks out there with what is called a faulty faith. You know what a faulty faith says? A faulty faith says, I'll trust God if. I'll have faith in Jesus if. And it usually goes something like this. I'll trust God if he delivers me. You know what else it's called? It's called foxhole faith. Foxhole faith. Hey, God, if you'll get me through this battle. Hey, God, if you'll get me through this war. Hey, God, if you'll get me through this tight spot, then I will serve you. It's also called 911 faith. Hey, God, if you'll just heal me. Hey, God, if you'll just heal my spouse or if you'll just heal my family member, then I'll be faithful. It's faulty faith. Why is it faulty? Because it bargains with God. And it dares God to come through for you. Not these three guys. These three guys, church, had real faith. Oh, our God is able. Our God can. And we believe he will. But even if he don't, we'll still serve him and him alone. Hey, God, whatever you decide, Hey, God, we believe that you're still here. Hey, God, we believe you're still on the throne. Hey, God, we believe that while we are finite in our understanding, there are things that we can't see. Because usually what you and I want to do is, and I hate for speaking on behalf of you, but it makes this a whole lot better. Usually what you and I do is we just want to focus on the fire. And God's like, no, I can see beyond the fire. I can see in tomorrow. I can see in the next year. I can see from eternity to eternity. I have no limitations at all. And we want to bargain with God. We want to treat God like a puppet. That our prayer is a string that we pull. I'll never forget, there was a lady that came to me one time. This was years ago, and here's what she said. She said, Pastor, I really want you to pray with me that God would give me a husband. And she was very sincere. She desperately wanted a husband. And the first thing I said was, before we pray, let's just talk a little bit about this. The husband's not the goal, okay? Because you get the wrong one, well, it's better to have nobody than the wrong body, right? I said, it's better to have nobody than the wrong body. You can amen it. It doesn't mean you're talking about your husband, okay? And I said, yeah, let's pray about this. And then in her prayer, here's what she said in her prayer. And I'm not making fun of her or belittling her, but here's what she said. She said, God, if you give me a good husband, I'll serve you all my days. And I went, Seriously, you know, my spirit just, I was like, step back, oh no. Now, go ahead, hit her with the lightning, Lord. That's right. I was talking with a guy one time, and he said, Pastor, could we pray? Could we pray about the illness that I have? Can we pray about this disease? And he did. They had been told by doctors, hey, this is not going to get any better. And this is exactly what he said, guys. He said, but I've been praying and I've been crying out to God, and I've been quoting scripture back to God to remind God that he will heal me. And I went to the doctor last week, and the doctor said it's gotten worse. And he said, can we pray about this? I said, I'll be happy to. And in the prayer, here's how it went. Hey, God, if you'll heal me, I'll tell everyone how great you are. Now hang on. What happens if that doesn't take place? What happens when no husband is brought? Does that mean that God has failed? Does that mean that God has not come through? Does that mean that you can't take God at his word because you've reminded him? And you've usually what happens is this. I'm going to pull a verse out of context. You should come on Wednesday nights. And I'm going to use it like a genie in a bottle. And I'm going to remind God, you need to do this and you need to do this for me. And yet I know a lot of people out there, they bailed out on God because they thought God let them down. And they were hurt, or they had to deal with some terrible tragedy, and they thought God failed them. He is not a heavenly puppet. Your prayer is not rubbing on a genie's bottle. Friend, listen to me. God is the king of the universe. He knows what is best. Stop running from him. Stop thinking he doesn't love you because you had to deal with a fiery situation. Stop thinking he's abandoned you because you are in the furnace right now. Stop saying, God, I just can't believe what you've said in your word because I've reminded you of this over and over. I spoke to the illness and told the illness to leave, and yet the illness is not gone. Why don't you follow the faith of these three boys? God, I know you're able. There's no fire too great for you. And God, I know you can. By the way, they would have understood all the miraculous things that God had already done to the children of Israel. And God, we believe you will. We've got faith. But even if you don't, we will serve and love you. Can I just stop and say, friend, that is the only kind of faith that'll get you through the fire. They were prepared to die. They could say, Lord, even if I have to suffer, Lord, even if my burning flesh fills the air, I'm going to go out trusting you. I'll believe that you're good, and I'll believe that you're sovereign, and I'll believe that you've got a plan, and I'll believe that you're merciful and gracious, even if you don't answer the prayer the way that I want you to answer the prayer, because the character and the nature of who you are is not dependent upon the circumstances or the fire that I'm walking through. You're like, I just don't want to be in the fire. Well, hang on, we'll deal with that. We're just not there yet. Friend, listen to me. God never honors when we say, God, if you're real, then I want you to do this, and then I'll believe in you. No, these guys said, but if not. Do you know who else had this same kind of faith? I think she's hungry. Do you know who else had the same kind of faith? Job. And we sit there, and here's what we'll say. I know what it's like. I'm a Job. No, you're not. You've not gone through anything like Job. You've had an ingrown toenail for 6 months. Do not compare that to what happened with Job. He lost it all. And yet, listen, if there's anybody, right, anybody in the history of the world that should have said, oh, God! Yet, I want you to hear what he says. Look at the screens. This is in, there it is. It's Job 13, 15. Though God slay me, wow, yet will I trust in him. See, some people don't have a relationship with God because they try to negotiate with God. And God never honors that because it's not faith. God, if you'll do this, if I see this, if you perform in this, then, no, 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 that's not faith, that's sight. God says, believe it even when you don't see it. Trust in me. Continue reading, pick up in verse 19. It says, then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury. I mean, he not only said, heat it up, he's hot, right? The expression on his face changed toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, cast them into the burning fiery furnace. And then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments. I mean, that's hot enough as it is, isn't it? And they were cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste, and he spoke, saying to his counselors, did we not cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? And they answered and said to the king, true, O king. I mean, I got a feeling they were probably shaking. I don't know. We don't want to answer wrong. Yes, yes, that's right, king. Look, he answered, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire. They're not hurt, and the form of the fourth, he says, is like the Son of God. And then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and he spoke, saying, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. And then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire, and the satraps, the administrators, the governors, and the king's counselors, remember everybody, if you, you know, the who's who, right? They gathered together, they saw these men out on whose bodies the fire had no power, the hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of fire was not on them. They wouldn't bow, they wouldn't bend, and they wouldn't burn. He's so mad. He's given them a second chance. Maybe you didn't understand everybody was supposed to do that. That's what I'm going to assume. Or maybe you had your earbuds in and you didn't hear the band playing. I'll give you a second chance because I know you're good boys. And they didn't do it then. So he says, no, I want you to get it really, really hot, super hot. So the sparks here are flying, right? The flames are roaring. You can just see the smoke billowing out of it. And the Bible says that the fire there is so hot that the very soldiers who were throwing them in, they weren't overcome by heat exhaustion. The Bible says the flames devoured them. I don't know, maybe just like poof, they're gone. But they died. That's how hot it was. Now, how would you have liked to have been Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and you've just been thrown into this fiery furnace, and the guys who threw you in, it killed them? What do you think they were doing? Again, you study the Septuagint. The Septuagint is taken the Jewish Old Testament, right? And it's put these stories together. It's kind of interesting because in the Septuagint, they write there that they were singing. That is, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were being thrown into the fire. They were singing. And I read that and I'm like, that doesn't seem right. But then yet I see instances like that all over the Bible. And people were rejoicing and praising. And we would look at it and say, they don't have anything to rejoice and praise over. They're going into the fire. And then I started thinking, I wonder what songs they sung. What do you think? Do you think they were singing Hunka Hunka Burning Love or something like that? What do you think they were singing? Do you think they were singing, I fell into a burning flame of fire? Right? It goes down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, burns, burns. The ring of fire. I don't know. What do you think they were singing? This is how my mind works. You think they were singing, just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision and the adversary says, give in. Just hold on. My God will show up and he will take you through the fire again. Wouldn't you rather hear me sing that than Jason Crabb? Oh, folks, if you sing through the fire, you won't be singed. And then keep looking at the scripture. Nebuchadnezzar's amazed. He sees four men walking around. They're unharmed. And he's like, whoa, there's a fourth guy in there. And he looks like the Son of God. And then you go down to verse 28. We'll read in just a second. In verse 28, he calls him the angel of the Lord. Who was this fourth man? Jewish scholars would say that this fourth man was an angel, that he was Gabriel. I don't believe that. The expression, the Son of God, there ascribes deity to the being. I don't believe this was an angel. I do know this. Jesus Christ sometimes is called the angel of the Lord. The king, Nebuchadnezzar, he looks in and he's like, my goodness, whoever I see in there looks like God. I believe this is a theophany. I believe this is an instance that we see happen a few times in the Old Testament where Jesus Christ took on human form. This is before Bethlehem, right? Jesus Christ took on human form and Jesus Christ stepped and stood up off of his throne, right? He opened up the gates of heaven. He walked down the starry staircase and then he stepped right down into that fire. And he says, all right, fire, cool it. And the fire didn't hurt him. That's crazy. It burned up the people that were throwing them in, but it didn't hurt them. Matter of fact, if you keep reading, you study a little bit deeper, you see that they're bound when they're thrown in, and the fire has actually burned off the bindings. Oh, my goodness. Y'all, this is a lot better preaching than you're acting like it. So listen to me. Listen. The very thing that the evil king had intended to bring about harm, God said, I'm going to use it to set them free. I'm going to use it to do something great in their life. And so here they are in there, and they're just walking around. I mean, that's a miracle. I mean, seriously, God, we've just read of the world's first microwave right here. It makes no sense. How can those guys get burned up, and then these guys are fine? It just burns the ropes off of their hands and feet. It's kind of like, how can you put water in a styrofoam cup, put it in the microwave, the water's hot, the styrofoam doesn't melt? Makes no sense. We just recently had to get a new microwave. And when we built our house several years ago, like most people, we got a package, right? All the appliances in the kitchen from the same manufacturer. And then our microwave went out. Well, it actually didn't stop working. What happened is the display went out. So you could sit there and put in a minute and turn it on and it would be fine. But you better make sure you did a minute and not 10. Because you have no idea what you've put in. And so it was driving us crazy, and we got to get another microwave. And so here's what I didn't realize. Well, first of all, the manufacturer that had our whole package, they quit making that particular model microwave. And so I'm like, well, we'll just get another one. The problem is, I didn't know this. You guys are a lot smarter than me. You probably understand that just because it says stainless steel looks different from manufacturer to manufacturer. And I'm like, I don't care. Now, right below that, we have the range, and it's stainless steel as well. And I'm like, we'll just go ahead and get another microwave, and we'll just stick it right up there, and it don't matter to me what kind of stainless steel it is. But yet, I had a roommate at my house that it does matter. And so then I'm sitting there, and I'm looking for something in that particular manufacturer that'll fit in the hole that's there in our cabinets. But don't worry, because you can get the trim kit. We already had a trim kit, but that trim kit fits the model that is now no longer produced. You know the trim kit costs as much as a microwave? Yeah. And so now we have this trim kit that matches the bottom, a microwave that is the same manufacturer. It just stinks. It's a little old bitty microwave in a big old hole, but man, there's stainless steel everywhere. First time I went up there to use it, I was going to christen it, right? What every good chef does. And so the first thing, what's the first thing I cooked in it? Bacon. Come on, guys. Popcorn. Are you kidding me? I can live the rest of my life and not eat any more popcorn. Now, bacon. Whew. Anyway, I'm just thankful I'm a Christian, and Jesus said, rise up, meat. I put that bacon in there in the old microwave. I set it on a minute. In a minute, I knew, boom, that's exactly the way I like it. My wife likes it a little bit crispier, what I call burnt. And so I'll put 15 more seconds, and it'll come out, and you're like, wow, you know, here you go. You can have this. And so I do a minute, come back. I've almost burnt everything in it down. Paper towels. I'm like, it's smoking. I started reading the book. I'm like, boy, you stupid microwave. You know what? I mean, I paid a lot of money for you, and you're not even big, and now you're burning my bacon? And I read in the book that said, listen to me, said this. It comes from the manufacturer automatically set at the highest heat setting. So you need to kind of dial that back a little bit. And it gives you a way to do it. You go through and you hit all this and you can pull it back to 5. And I ain't going to do that. I'll just, 30 seconds is what I'll do my bacon. That'll do it right there. Hey, listen to me. Here's these guys. And they're in the furnace. And Jesus steps in. And Jesus says, hey guys, I know you feel the heat. But the heat is subject to me. The fire is subject to me. No, I'll dial it up just right. I already know the settings. And instead of hurting you, I'm going to use the fire to free you, to set you free. So very quickly, I want to give you these four, right? These four. So, well, they wouldn't bow, they wouldn't bend, they wouldn't burn. Again, those are Dr. Vine's. Here's mine. The fourth point's mine. You ready for it? So what? That's it. So what? Feel free. If you want to use that outline, you feel free and you can say it's yours. Look at what it says there. It says there that when they came out of the fire, their clothes didn't even smell like smoke. You can't eat lunch at a Mexican restaurant and not smell like it the rest of the day. Their hair wasn't burned. Pick up in verse 28. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered its servants who trusted in him, and they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made an ash heap, because there's no other God who can deliver like this." And then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. And so you're like, yeah, look at old Nebuchadnezzar. Go there. He finally got it right. No. No, we're going to see in chapter 4, he didn't have it right. And he's still trying to do the same thing. He's still trying to enforce worship, and you cannot enforce worship. Worship is a personal decision that you make, right? So with that being said, so what? Four life lessons. The first one, your commitment strengthens when you face the fire. These guys decided we're going to be different. We're not going to bow because everybody else is bowing. We know it's probably going to cost us something, but that's okay. We will not do it. Excuse me. They had already made the decision. We will not do it. We'll stand out. We'll be different. And they suffered persecution. Listen to what 2 Timothy 3:12 says. All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Have you discovered this? That sold out, young people, have you discovered this? That sold out Christians, they just so get on the nerves of the average American. But Sunday only Christians, they don't bother anybody. But when you become a 24/7 follower of Christ, then I can promise you, there's going to be difficulties. The next time you find yourself at work or you find yourself at school and, you know, somebody's telling a dirty joke and everybody is laughing and you're there and you're like, I'm not laughing. I don't think that's funny. I don't think my Lord would be pleased with that. They're going to look at you like, what's wrong with you? You fanatic? Or the next time you might very kindly say, hey, would you please quit using my Lord's name in vain? And they're like, who do you think you are? You're weird. You don't need to go around trying to stir up trouble. Just live 24/7 for Jesus and watch what happens. Here's the second life lesson. You don't have to give in to peer pressure. We say peer pressure, well, for a kid that grew up in the 80s, oh man, we know peer pressure. We had a t-shirt that said peer pressure with a, like, I won't do it. Peer pressure, mark through it. Peer pressure is more than just teenagers. These guys wouldn't bow. That's devotion. They're given a second chance. They wouldn't bend. That's determination. In other words, this, they'd already predetermined, we're not going to do this. We're not going to, young people, the time to determine that you're going to remain pure sexually in your life is not when you find yourself sitting in a car and the windows are all fogged up. No, you make that decision long before that. I've made a predetermination. I'm not going to bow. I'm not going to bend. I don't care what happens. This is who I am, and I'm more concerned with being true to the one true living God. And so you got to decide now. That's who I'm going to be, right? 1 Peter 2:20 says this, if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. Lesson number three, you're not alone in the fire. How many men were thrown into the fire? Three. How many men came walking out of the fire? Three. How many men were in the fire? Thank you. Four. No, four. Come on. I feel like I got to go back and start over again, guys. Well, where was the other one? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Nebuchadnezzar said, you guys come on out. And they go walking out. I'll tell you this. You find yourself in the furnace and you're a follower of Christ, he'll be right in the middle of it with you too. He'll be right in the middle of that fire with you. He'll be walking through it with you. You're not alone in the fire. I want you to listen to God's promise in Isaiah 43, 2 and 3. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. You are precious and honored in my sight, and I love you. Notice it doesn't say that God's going to keep you out of the fire. Notice it doesn't say if you go through the fire. Maybe you'll go through the fire. Do you know what it says? When you go through the fire. Pastor, been better if God kept them boys out of the fire. I'll submit this to you. There have been many times in my life that I've walked through the fire, and when I was in the fire, there was never a time where I'm like, whoo-hoo, I love fiery days. But I'm able to look back and say, I wouldn't trade the fire for anything. Had they not been in the furnace, they wouldn't have walked with Jesus. Where would you rather be? Oh, I don't like fires. Keep me out of the fire. No, I don't. Or would you be willing to walk in the middle of the fire so you can walk with Jesus Christ as well? I'm just saying, guys, God's doing something. God's accomplishing something. And you say, I don't like fires. I'm afraid of fires. Why does God not just keep me out in the first place? Is that what you're thinking? Is that your question? If it is, shake your head. I'm glad you did. This is my last point. Answers this question. Because you're purified through the fire. Right now, there are some of you in this room, you're right in the middle of a painful, private furnace. And you're asking, what's God doing here? When am I going to get through this fire? Well, here's the answer, Malachi 3:3. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the priest and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who bring offerings in righteousness. Now notice it doesn't say there, bring offerings of righteousness. Now the offering has not changed. The men bringing it have. How'd they change? They've gone through the fire. You see, God's the silversmith. And what a silversmith will do is a silversmith will take the silver and he'll stoke that fire and get it as hot as he can. And he'll take a little crucible there, right? A little bowl, and he'll put the silver in that. And all of a sudden he'll heat that silver up and he'll get it hot and hot and just hot enough to where it becomes liquid. And then you know what will happen as he keeps stoking the fire? All the impurities of that silver will rise to the top. And then he'll skim the impurities off. And then he keeps stoking the fire. You say, when is he done? The silversmith is done when he looks down in the silver and he sees a reflection of himself. And he says, this silver's good. This silver's pure. I got this silver just the way I want it. Now we'll bring it out of the fire. Hey guys, you and I could sit around and we could try to figure out the ways of God all day. We could sit there and say, why do good people suffer? Why do bad people seem to get promotions and life's just good for them? If God really loved me or if I was really faithful, I've had folks been told that before. If you just really believe God's word, you wouldn't go in the fire. No. God doesn't lead you into the fire because he doesn't love you. He's trying to make you more like Jesus. See, if all God was wanting to accomplish through our lives was save us, get us to heaven, get our tickets punched, then right, the moment that we're saved, it'd be like, all right, beam them up, Scotty, and there we'd go. And he's like, all right, now that we have this relationship, I'm going to do something that's pretty amazing. I'm going to start letting things come into your life. You say, are you saying, Pastor, that everything that happens in this life is the will of God? Well, no, I don't believe that. I do believe that there's not a single thing that comes into your life that has not first been sifted through God's hands. You say, what does that mean? He could stop it if he wanted to. He allows it to come in, and he allows the fire, and he allows the furnace, because he's like, yeah, I'm getting rid of pride. I'm getting rid of idolatry. Getting rid of selfishness. I'm getting rid of hate. I'm getting rid of all these impurities. Oh, there it is. Jesus. You're like, well, I wish you'd hurry up. Well, if you didn't have so much junk, maybe he could. How long does it take? Best I can tell, a lifetime. And I'm just saying this. These boys said, God can and God will, but even if he don't, we'll still worship and serve him. God's doing and working in your life. Do not misinterpret pain and suffering as though God's not doing. You can really make the argument, that's really when he is. But no matter what life looks like, we will serve you, Lord. We will worship you alone. I mean, what if our God don't show up? I praise you, Lord, for you are worthy. Jennifer and I were talking this week. There was a precious lady here in our church years ago that she was young, vibrant, got a terrible disease that started shutting her body down. Her muscles and everything else, she was bound to the bed the last, I don't know, weeks, months of her life. And we would go over, and we knew her when she was extremely vibrant. And we would go over, and she wouldn't be able to talk. And it was a hard thing to witness. And we were over there, and somebody said, we're so sorry. But this is happening to you. I don't think she could say it. I think she took maybe scribbled it on a little whiteboard. Why you, right? And here's what she wrote. Why not me? Jesus is good. Oh God, that's the kind of faith I want. Why not me? Jesus, you're still good. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Your heads bowed, your eyes closed. And what about you? Would you determine right now, I'm not going to bow and I'm not going to bend. I've been created not only to live a different life in this world, but I've been created for beyond this world. It's where a lot of us get hung up. We tend to think that everything exhausts in this life. Oh my goodness, friend, this life is just like a grain of sand on the seashore of eternity. God's doing something in your life that's greater than this earth. But would you say, I will praise your name. You are good. Even when the flesh is crying out, the fire's hot. I'm afraid. It makes no sense. I love the Lord. Why the pain? Why the suffering? Would you say, we know you can. God, we're going to believe you will. But even if you don't, we will worship the one true living God. and we will serve you with every ounce we have until we are before you face to face. Because you are doing something even in the pain. I want you to ask yourself the question this morning. First of all, do you know God? The Bible says it is impossible to know God, be in a relationship with Him, apart from faith and trust in Jesus Christ. See, here's what a relationship teaches us. That salvation is not an event to check off. Salvation is not, well, you're 12 now, time to get saved. Salvation is not past tense. Salvation says, He is alive in me. I walk with Him and I talk with Him, and the Spirit of God is guiding me, and He's speaking to me as I study His Word, that Jesus lives inside of me. You see, this morning, if you can't say that, then, man, we need to have a conversation. And there are some of you here that would say, well, the reality, I just know, I don't know Him. I really don't. I don't know Jesus. I've never given my life to Him. You can right now, today, right now, cry out to Him. Jesus, I surrender my life, my faith and trust are in You. Save me, Lord. I give it to You. Cry out to Him right now. And then there's a good number of you in this room that while you would say, I know that I'll go to heaven when I die, that faith becomes real thin when the furnace is in your life. How about instead you say, Lord, I praise You in the good and the bad. I praise You in the glorious times and the hard times. I praise You, Lord, because You're doing something in my life.
This is Pastor Stephen Kyle, and I would like to thank you for listening to this week's episode of Unchangeable Truth. We would always love to talk to you about your relationship with Jesus Christ, so feel free to shoot us an email at podcast@highlandpark.org. That's HILANDPARK.org. The purpose of this broadcast is to help you fall more in love with Jesus Christ and your faith to grow as you consistently find yourself in the Word of God. If you ever find yourself in Panama City, please feel free to stop by and worship with us in person at 2611 Highway 231 North. May God bless you, and we look forward to you joining us again.